Welcome to this episode of MC Forward, a podcast that focuses on Montgomery College individuals who are leading from where they are. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Mills. Joining me today is Gina Maraza, Creative Projects Coordinator for Achieving Collegiate Excellence and Success, or ACES. Gina, I appreciate you taking time out to join me.
Well, this is just a thrill for me, Dr. Mills. Thank you for having me.
In doing some background research before this discussion, I uncovered that you have quite the storied music background. Can you give us a little information about that and how that helps you form your ideas of leadership?
Of course, I'd love to. So if we go back in my journey, I come from a beautiful Italian-American family, where my parents really valued education, and they also valued the role of music lessons. So my brother and my two sisters and I were required to take piano lessons with a really brilliant teacher that was in our area in South Jersey. And the thing was that my mom felt that if you could study alone, when you have a piece of music, it's like for the first time you're looking at it, you have to break it down. You're in sort of this foggy area. How are you going to play this Beethoven sonata? So you have to learn how to break things down and build them back up. And even though it can get scary at times, you sort of learn to lead yourself. And you say, okay, well, I see this pattern. And it turns out that my mom didn't want us to go into music. And it turns out that three of my other three siblings became doctors. And it was, again, if you could focus on your music, you can transfer that knowledge, that tenacity, that excellence, and go into something and do it really well. And I decided to stay in music, but not as a concert pianist, which I was at the beginning. I'm a chamber player now, but I became an arts administrator, very interested in leadership, because I was the assistant director at Levine School of Music for 17 years, got them into Strathmore. I would play on the side. Again, I would use those sort of skills that I learned in what does it take to do something well? And then I transferred that as an administrator and finally to where I am here at Montgomery College, which I love the team that I'm a part of, because all of them are trying to teach our students, our ACES, what I call ACES scholars, and in my program, the ACES ambassadors. To lead, you have to lead yourself first, and we work on those skills. So that's sort of the whole circle of life for me.
So when you were growing up and you were learning those skills needed to be a concert pianist, what were they? What skills were involved that then translated into the leadership opportunities that you had?
Sure. So at the beginning, you would learn pieces of music and then you had to compete if you wanted to play with orchestras. So I went into this competition to win the Philadelphia, to be able to solo with the Philadelphia Orchestra. To do that, there's memory. You have to be able to memorize over 35 pages of music. You have to be able to do chamber music with the orchestra that you play with. You have to have tenacity. You don't win all the time. And one of the things that you learn as a leader is that it humbles you to lose. It is important to learn how to lose. I mean, we can sort of bring those into those concentric circles today. When you lose, you lose. You got to go back to the drawing board and you must do it better. You must think of why, how could I have done it better? And then you try again. So if you go into competitions when you're young, whether you're a skater, whether you're in sports, you have to be able to want to excel and accept when you don't win, because excelling is always important. Winning, wow, that's such a joy and everything, but it's not the only thing. But if you do win, like the competition, you got to play with wonderful musicians. And that became very important to me. I didn't want to just win little competitions. I didn't go into many, but I always wanted to play with members of the Philadelphia Orchestra in chamber music or solo with the orchestra, which I did three times, which was very exciting for me. And then I, you know, sort of applied those things when I went to school. I got to work with great musicians that I went to school with. And eventually when I came here to Washington, I applied those skills when I went to Catholic University to get my master's. I had gone originally to go as a solo pianist, and I met Father Hartke, who you know at that time was running the Hartke Theater, and he used to run USO tours. And he said, you look like you could bring everybody together and you'll be the music director. So we did tours in the Sinai, we lived in Poland, and we did these USO tours. And again, I had to sort of reach in my black bag and I said, okay, got to write the show. We have to rehearse the show. You got to learn how to work with other people, which became more exciting to me than being a solo pianist because I got to work with people. So it's almost like if I was a senator or a congressman, I would love that to be able to say, all right, I disagree with you on this. Let's try to make this work better. And I found that I did that when I was Father's music director, and then when I came to work at Levine School. I mean, you had brilliant musicians there. Well, how do you build a program together? You just can't say we're doing it this way. And we had staff, and we just had a marvelous time building it. I was responsible for getting the Levine School of Music into Strathmore, got to work with the team at Strathmore, because with excellence, you get to work with people that want to keep building things. And that was very important to me. So those were the skills I applied throughout.
Moving into organizational leadership, this concept of team is important. Yes. Working with a team. Was that, it obviously was something you found enjoyable.
Yes.
But did you find it hard?
You know, I at that point, I think I was more of an extrovert. So I wanted to do this. You know, if I look back in my high school years, I was like president of the class, like 3 years out of four. I loved to bring everybody to do something, whether they voted for me or not. I think they didn't want to do it. And so they knew that I would do it well. I had the ability to sort of get the energy going of everybody, that we were all going to go to Oz. If we all locked arms, we'll do it together. So I applied that, loving to sort of lead that. And I also did it in my music organizations. I was very involved in extracurricular in both high school and college. And I love that whole idea of, like, you know, when you put a show together, you can have at the beginning, everyone looks horrible. I mean, it's like a first draft of anything that you write. It's horrible, but that's where you start. And then how do you build on that? How do you say, let's rehearse this, let's do this better? So I did that with my shows. And then I did that when we were building programs at Levine, whether it was for the early childhood program, whether it was even here at ACES, building the ACES Ambassador Leadership Program. It has evolved from year one. It has to. And we get together and we talk about it. The kids give me feedback because you can always make it, you could always tweak it. And that's very important. There are times you have to pivot. You have to sort of throw everything away. So I enjoyed that whole idea of that, you know, we're going to go, we might not make it. And we always seem to make it because we, you know, you could have a group of people you don't even like, but if you have something in common that you're going towards, it really does work. It takes time though. So you can't give up. And, you know, leadership, I think tenacity is very important. Not to be tenacious with the same idea, but to stick with something you say you're going to do. Maybe you do it like a variation on a theme, which is very musical too. You know, Brahms would write a theme and then he'd do like 20 variations on it. You have to be able to vary that and know when to pivot, know when to vary.
Well, let's pivot to the ACES, the Ambassador Leadership Program, and your role in that and the response from the students on learning about leadership.
Yes, it is the most cherished thing that I do and that I've done, I think, in my life. So it's called the ACES Ambassador Leadership Program. I was asked to be a part of it 5 years ago. At that time, I was just doing the Arts and Culture Program while I was working at Strathmore at the Young Artists of America. And I had met Karen Callender, who was a dynamic leader of our ACES program. And she believed in the arts and culture program. And then she saw, I said, you know, I really love this leadership thing. If we can get these kids, we'll get them together. We'll talk about what are the leadership skills. I reached into my black bag of my friends who I knew that were in leadership positions, whether I went to Nancy Roman, who at that time was running the food bank, in Washington, D.C. And then she went over to work with Michelle Obama's organization, the Partnerships for a Healthier America. And they all wanted to be a part of this, whether it was her, whether it was Luis Schiavone, who was a friend of mine who came from NPR, because they're all leaders within their sort of swim lane. And I tried to work with the kids and say, you don't have to be a congressman or a senator or the president. There are things, whatever you do, you could lead within your sort of realm, whether it's in healthcare, public health, which a lot of our kids, what I started to do, as opposed to, you know, sort of saying, this is what leadership is about. You know, we read all the David Rubenstein books, you know, we sort of pick things out of that. We have mantras like, you don't know what you don't know. That's, you know, brings in your humility. But, and then I brought in leaders, and the kids actually told me, we want leaders within where we want to get to. So ACES, remember, is based on a pathway. You know, you come from the high school ACES program, you go into your MC program, and then you go to USG. And you finish that four-year degree in that sort of subject that you really want to delve into. And we're finding a lot of the kids are going into the STEM programs, public health. And so it is changing to that. So we start sort of every year, we start out with sort of an overview. Like this year we're doing a whole read of the Constitution. Okay, so that'll take one of the workshops. Then we're gonna go visit the original Constitution. But in the meantime, we're gonna also bring in some ACES students. Remember, the ACES program has been around for about 10 years. They've graduated. We're gonna bring those leaders back because they're really very successful in their careers. And kids like to see kids who look like them. You know, I'm old. I'm, you know, they know that I have a great energy for it, but they must see examples of those leaders. And that's where we've gotten to year five. This is going to be a really powerful year. It will be leadership of oneself, meeting leaders. I'll still bring all in my friends. And what is leadership based on? I mean, and we're talking about you must be impeccable with words, and we go back to the Constitution. You must be able to amend things. That's the beauty of the Constitution. But you first have to read it. You won't understand it at the beginning. Again, it'll be foggy, but we'll get through it together. So it's really something I cherish, and I see that the kids come back. They usually stay with me for 2 years. We built in a feeder program in the high school, thanks to the Herb Block Foundation. And we're starting to build in internships of leadership that we're trying to get for our kids in the summer, because it's hard for kids to get internships. It's essential to have internships and mentorships. So that's the recipe. Now we got to make a really good cake this year because it's year five.
As you work with these students, what have they taught you about your own leadership?
They've taught me that I have to be more impeccable with my words. They taught me that they want to talk amongst themselves. They want to hear someone speak. They love meeting the people, but they want to spend more time talking about things. Also, one of the big things we want to talk about that they asked to sort of have more say in is about mental health, where that needs to get to for them because of what they've been through. So we are always having sort of a mental health review. We build that into the program. Again, they want to talk to students. Remember, this pandemic has been horrible. Most of our meetings have been online. The last 3 years were the pandemic. So now we're starting with hybrid. They're going to be able to come in and meet one another. This summer, a lot of my students came to meet me in person. It was like so exciting, like we cried when we met each other, because there is something about being in the same room, being at the same table. Even though we tried with Zoom, they stuck with it. They really worked hard, but I think it'll be more joyous for them to interact and to be in person. So that's what they want. We always have a review, what worked, what did work, and I really want to listen to them. Sometimes leaders don't listen enough. Your good leaders do. So I've tried to blend that in for this year five as we walk forward.
So what I'm hearing you say is that leadership requires flexibility.
Yes, which is the hardest. Because sometimes you have this sort of your blinders on, we're going to go here, we're going to... So Oz maybe look a little different. I mean, it's also like being a parent. I mean, we all have sort of these goals for the kids. And then you realize at a certain time, and my kids, if they listen to this, they'll probably laugh. It took me a long time to realize that okay, you know, you set, but it is important to set those sort of the structural things of excellence, tenacity, compassion, including people, reaching out and being part of things, which my husband and I really did. And again, that was all transferable. And, you know, I see my kids, they're doing their thing with a twist of what we brought into their lives. And that's what we want. My goal is to bring clarity, that the kids bring clarity to themselves as to what they want. And meaning not my personal kids, I want that for them, but also my ACES ambassadors. Then I've really succeeded.
Those characteristics you just identified, compassion, empathy, listening, why is that so hard for leaders?
I think leadership maybe has something to do with power. And I think power does something to people once they get into that role. And the goal is to sort of every night sit down. I mean, I used to read about President Bush, the father, President Bush one, and he would write in his diary. You know, you have to be able to look at yourself and say, did I do this well? Could I have done better? Because you have to stay grounded. I know if I were the president of the United States, which I've always wanted to be, every night I would cry to think, what if I didn't help someone? What if I hurt someone? I think it's such a role where I see power. Some people see they don't turn the coin around. It's very humbling to have that power. So leadership, I mean, I guess if you get enthralled with yourself, which some leaders do, that's not what we want. That to me is the antithesis of leadership. That's just the hole you fall into. You must see the hole and you must walk around that hole. And you say, no, I must believe in compassion. And that does come with clarity. I mean, you don't have to be like a willow in the wind. You have to be strong like a tree, but you have to be able to bend when it's really necessary. But it seems to be hard once people get into a position of power. We have good leaders. There are also other leaders. I think of Dr. Pollard. She was a brilliant leader that way. She talked to all my kids. I have pictures of her hugging the kids, you know, before the pandemic, and my ACES ambassadors. She always reached out. She had a great, because she herself was balanced. I think if you stay balanced, whether you're spiritual, you say prayers, whatever you say, your mantras, and then you come back and you say, okay, let's get back to what our goals are. So,
as we wrap this up, what are you still working on in on your leadership journey?
I want to be, because what I see around me, I think facts are very important. I think being even more clear, listening more to my students, because their journey has been one of the ACES students are very brave. And so you need to hear their stories, and your heart just opens up and you just say, I'm so proud to be with you on this journey. And you know where they want to get to. That's the exciting thing. So I want to listen more. I want to develop a program that these six workshops that they come to, I want it to be so valuable to them, as well as fun. I also think there needs to be that sort of, you know, there has to be lines, even if some of the kids still stay on the Zoom, they still need to feel included. They still need to, whether you're in the high school program, one of the greatest compliments was the high school kids still that were, we had five of them last year, this year we'll have 10. They felt part of the MC kids. It's neat to be with the college kids, and the college kids felt very comfortable with the high school. So we built a team. So I hope I continue on that. I hope I listen a little more, and I hope I make it very effectively important to the kids.
Gina, this was wonderful. It was very enlightening to me to hear about your musical background and your connection with leadership in ACES. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, it's been an honor, Dr. Mills. Have a great day.
Thank you. If you know someone who you think would be a great fit for this podcast, have them reach out to me at michael.mills@montgomerycollege.edu. Meanwhile, keep moving MC forward.